Praise, praise. Praise God. Morning, church. Good morning, SB. So let's start in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for your blessings, your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your revelation. Thank you, Father God, for your mighty presence in this place, in this sanctuary. Filling this room with your presence, O Lord God. So continue, Lord God, to study, O God, and learn from your word. We just pray, Holy Spirit, to just lead us in all of your truth and give us the spirit of understanding to receive your truth, O God, today. Lord God, I humble myself and not my own strength and understanding, but I fully rely on the leading and the teaching of your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for joining. Thank you also for those who are listening online. So we are now on the last feast that God are given to the nation of Israel. And we thank God for his grace and mercy that we were able to go through it with to have this understanding and, you know, to have a quick knowledge about the feast that God are given to the nation of Israel. And eventually we know that God are give this feast for the people of Israel to rehearse the coming event or this event that God are given, which is his calendar event on the total redemption of God for the mankind. And even his creation. And we have learned that there are seven feasts that God are given. And we have the Passover, which is the people of Israel also rehearsed year after year. And we know that Jesus has fulfilled this because Passover, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. And after that, we started also the next feast, which is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That signifies that Jesus, he is a sinless man. That we know that this living bread signifies sin. And Jesus without sin, and he is the unleavened bread. He is a sinless man. And following that is the feast of the first fruits, which is stand. That the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first man who resurrected from the dead that never died again, and he remained alive and seated at the right hand of God, our Father in heaven. So he is the first fruit. And we have also the feast of the first fruit. And then, what is the next one? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit. And Feast of Weeks, hallelujah. Feast of the Pentecost, which signifies the coming of the Holy Spirit, is also fulfilled during the time of the Acts of the Apostles. So these first three feasts, we understood that this is under the Spring Festival. And these three feasts, four feasts has already been fulfilled. These three activities or festivals already been fulfilled. But this remaining three feasts, which is the fall feast or autumn feast, the feast of the trumpets, the feast of the atonement, and the feast of the tabernacle is yet to be fulfilled in the coming age. So we are so blessed and thanks for the grace of God that we are now understanding this feast, and not only for the view of the Israel nation, of the nation of Israel, but God is given this for us, even the church, to know the exact calendar event that will take place, took place, and will take place in the coming age, which is God will going to fulfill. Now, we are now going to look on the last feast, which is the feast of the Tabernacles. So let me check my notes because Feast of Tabernacles, which this feast is, in contrast, the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement is so very solemnly observed, and they're going to before the Feast of Atonement and the 10th day of the Tishri of the 7th month, they have this days of awe, 7 days of awe, which is they have to observe it so seriously until the Feast of Atonement on the 10th day of month of Tishri, which is in contrast the Feast of Tabernacles. They are going to celebrate this with a joyous celebration, you know, because this is the celebration wherein after they craft the last harvest of the fruit, they're going to celebrate it with joyfulness with and celebration with the provisions and the blessings of the Lord. This is the gathering of the fruit of the harvest that has been taking place in such full of rejoicing and God's blessing in abundance. This yearly feast is precursor of the ultimate fulfillment that takes place when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom and begins to rule on the planet Earth. And also, let's also take a look on this commandment of God in observing this Feast of Tabernacles, which can be found in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33 to 44. Let me read. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly to you do no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is a closing assembly to do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, which you are proclaimed as a sacred assemblies for bringing offering made to the Lord by fire, the burnt offering and the grain offerings, sacrifice and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbath, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So beginning with the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival of the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the 8th day also is a day of rest. On the first day you are to take choicest fruit from the trees, palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generation to come. Celebrate in it the 7th month. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths so that descendants will know that I had the Israelite live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so Moses announced to the Israelite the appointed feast of the Lord. Amen. The heart of this feast is the desire of God to tabernacle with mankind, meaning to dwell with mankind. If you could take a look, a quick survey in the Bible that shows the truth that in the first book to the last, that early in the Genesis, we read of how God dwelt among his creation as he walked in the garden of the cool of the day in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And even after the fall, he still sees the same, the desire with the construction of the tabernacle during the Exodus in Israel and Egypt, that we have learned that during their time in the wilderness, they have set up this portable tabernacle for them to offer sacrifices and worship unto the Lord. This later evolved into the first and the second temples where the presence of God was manifest. Where in the first coming of Jesus was described in this same exact language as we read in John chapter 1 verse 14. Said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. His dwelling. Dwelling is a tent or tabernacle among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only one who come from the Father, full of grace and truth. The great promise of Jesus for this is involves both the Father and the Son dwelling with the one who loves and follows the Son. And also we can find it in John 14:20. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him." So the idea of this tabernacle of indwelling of God in us, we can see even in the New Old Testament, in the beginning of Genesis, throughout the whole Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, we can find that Jesus himself teaching us that the Father and him, the Son, is the longing to dwell in us. And we know this ultimate fulfillment of the indwelling of God will be fulfilled in the Feast of Tabernacles, in the ruling of Jesus Christ here, the 1,000 years of ruling of Christ here on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, let us also look the details, some details of celebration that is written in Deuteronomy, Chapter 16, verse 13 and 15. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floors and your winepress. Be joyful at your feast. You, your sons and daughters, your maidservants, and the Levites, the aliens, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your town. For 7 days, celebrate the feast of the Lord your God at the place of the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in your harvest and all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. The word first, the joy will be complete, mentioned during the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle. And we know in John, this verse also mentioned, this word also mentioned when the Lord Jesus says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." It is during this celebration, and God said that 7 days of joy and celebration and rejoicing, they are going to observe this Feast of Tabernacle. So this feast is about the celebration of the harvest and about commemorating and remembrance of what the Lord had done during his time in their time in the wilderness, going out from the land of Egypt. Now, the booths and the shelters, because we know, and let's take a note that it is God who is going to give them the place to celebrate. Meaning, during their wandering in the wilderness in 40 years, they are just, you know, when God said, "Stop here and camp here," and then they're going to set all the comes, and at the same time, this is the place where they're going to celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles, a Feast of Booths. And during that time, because they're always, you know, going from place to place, wandering in the wilderness, they have only to set a temporary shelter, which signifies the booth, which signifies a temporary tent that they are using. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles comes in many names. Sometimes they use the word Feast of Booths that emphasize the command to Israel to live in booths, which is sukkah in Hebrew. The singular of booths is sukkah, meaning booth in Hebrew, booth. Sukkah in Hebrew. During this festival, to remember where they came from and to remember their exodus from Egypt. Symbolically, this speaks to Christians of our current journey to this world where we live in a temporary tabernacle, meaning this body is a temporary tabernacle. But just as Israel came into the promised land, we too will one day find ourselves clothed in a new body in the eternal New Jerusalem. Both Paul and Peter spoke of our current tabernacle, our body. Spoke in 2 Corinthians and 2 Peter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 1, 13 and 15. Please just read that one if you have time, because have some, you know, more time on this subject. So in 1 Corinthians 5:1-14, talk about our temporary tabernacle, which is our body, as also 2 Peter 1:13-15. So sometimes they call it Feast of Booths, and it's also called a Feast of Ingatherings. So when you hear the word Feast of Ingatherings, also pertaining about the Feast of Tabernacle, which can be found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. Celebrates the gathering of fall harvests. Hence, its name, the Feast of Ingathering, prophetically this points to the time when the final harvest of souls had been made. It is during the Feast of Tabernacle. So it's also Feast of Ingathering. And others also calls the Feast of Nation that can be found in Zechariah 14, wherein all the remnants and inhabitants of the nation of the earth will come to Jerusalem and worship and celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles. So it's a Feast of Booths, Feast of Ingathering, it's also Feast of the Nations, and also Feast of Dedication that can also found in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12-14, because Solomon dedicated the first temple during the Feast of Tabernacle in 1 Kings chapter 8. So if you hear those words, if you comes out, or you hear that Feast of Dedication, Feast of Feast of Nations, or Feast of Ingatherings, and Feast of Booths, it's all pertaining to the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, today, the traditional, you know, Jewish observance is the time when in the people begin to dwell in Sukkah or in booth, in this celebration of God's provision. So still, people of the nation of Israel, they are still observing this feast. Even the Feast of Passover, the sixth feast, people of the nation of Israel is still observing this feast. Why? Because they are still waiting for the Messiah. Because we have learned that they miss to understand and to recognize that Jesus Christ is already came the first time in the nation of Israel. So they're still waiting the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. So right now they're celebrating it, and this is a holy day that is so full of joyful celebration, and traditionally don't even wait on the 15th day of this month to set up and to build this booth, because they are all excited to celebrate this joyful celebration, the Feast of Tabernacle. So after the Feast of Atonement, there is a 5-day gap before the Feast of Tabernacle. People of the nation of Israel, they can wait until the 15th to start building this booth for the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle. The construction of the Sukkah is both challenging and joyful and full of fun, for the whole family are going to construct or build this booth. It is essentially a temporary hut which one is to live. And this booth is at least will house one person, but they're going to build this with branches of your palm, with leaves, and we built it, see to it that the roof is open, that you can see the star, that mimicking that when they are living in the wilderness, building all those temporary wood, and it's literally they can see all the stars in the sky. So they are building this booth, and at least they are living this, and they are going to sometimes put all those fruits hanging in these booths, so that everyone who is celebrating, they just come into the booths and just, you know, get those blessings and share this blessing and eat this produce. You know, I remember when we, way back in the Philippines, we literally try to observe this in order for us to fully understand the meaning. You know, church, so there are great differences of just knowing, understanding by reading and hearing compared to the experience that you are going to do. So what we did is we get some palm leaves, We construct outside the church. There's a perimeter outside the church. And we construct this booth. And then we put all the different kinds of fruits that is available during that time. And then you can, every day one, we're going to sleep overnight, alternately. Other people will sleep there. And then the following day, we sleep there. For 7 days, we come to that place and celebrate. And we know, the revelation and the opening of their eye that how God provide them during the time in the wilderness, that God is so faithful. When I'm reading this again and I say, oh God, you said that during the Feast of Tabernacles, they have to celebrate after the harvest of the fruit. So meaning, even in the wilderness, you have allowed them and blessed them to plant the trees, that fruits that can bear fruit. I don't know how, but this feast that God gave to them is given in the Mount Sinai 50 days after they went out in the land of Egypt. So meaning in their 40 years wandering in the Egypt, in the wilderness, they are celebrating even this feast that God are given to them. So this is what we have understood during when we try to set up this booth as well. It's so joyful and it's so an eye-opener for us, and the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord that is there, that have done, that we know that the final fulfillment of this one will be coming soon. And it is so much more joyful and celebration that we're going to take place on that day. Now, what is the prophetic fulfillment of this the Feast of Tabernacle? This prophetic fulfillment will be the 100 years Messianic kingdom on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Apostle John tells us in his vision of final things that the reality of Sukkot or Tabernacle will be obvious to all. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. See, we can see this when the tabernacle of God is with men. The indwelling of God is in men, is with men. And we will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the fulfillment of this Feast of Tabernacle that God showed it in advance to with John the Baptist. Oh, John the Beloved, sorry. Sukkot was always known as the day of commemorates God's dwelling with his people. This is God teaching the people of Israel and even us today that this feast is always commemorating the God's dwelling with us or with his people. Now, it is fitting for the kingdom of God when it fully comes to redeem earth to be considered the ultimate fulfillment of this holiday. God himself will finally dwell with his people in his fullness. The sukkah or the tabernacle of God will among men when Messiah Jesus will dwell us and rule dwell as the ruler of the 1,000 years Messianic kingdom. The goal of God's plan is ultimately the establishment of his kingdom on the earth. Sukkot is said to be the premier celebration of the millennium, as said and predicted by prophet Zechariah in chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations will came against Jerusalem, shall go up year to year to worship the King and the Lord of the hosts and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, in them there will be no rain. And we know that this 1,000 years of reigning of the Lord Jesus in the New Jerusalem, there are still other people outside the Jerusalem. It is the instruction or the law of God that said in Zechariah that they have to go yearly, all the remnant of the people that is on earth, to Jerusalem to worship and to observe this Feast of Tabernacle. That's said in Zechariah. And he said, if they are not going to serve or celebrate, God will not send rain in that nation, on that people. So it is worthy to note that judgment of not celebrating Sukkot or in the Messianic kingdom will be with the holding of rain. Jesus returned to establish the long-awaited kingdom, and all people who have been redeemed by his sacrifice will gladly celebrate Sukkot in all its fulfillment. All we are that is called and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will going to celebrate in the fullness of this Feast of Tabernacle or Sukkot in the 1,000 years and reigns of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Now, what is the personal significance? Personal significance of the Feast of Tabernacles is rest. Living in the rest and joy that is in Christ in our daily life today. The ultimate fulfillment of this feast is found on the kingdom age when Jesus rules and reigns on this earth from Jerusalem. It will be a time of rest, joy, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles remind us of the same things that ours in Christ today. There is a rest today. There is a joy in Christ today. There is a fellowship with God through Jesus today. And take the issue of the rest. During the period of the law, this rest came one day a week on the seventh day. During this time, we have only one day. Sometimes, praise God, we have 2 days of rest during this day. But during the kingdom, the whole planet will experience the rest as the lamb will lie down with the lion, and the nation will not take up sword against nation any longer. Never forget that there is rest today. In fact, God specifically tells us to be careful that we enter the rest today, which is written in Hebrews chapter 4, 7, 11. The very essence of the Feast of Tabernacle is also to have rest. Amen. Praise God. The same can be said of joy and fellowship. Christians should have tremendous hope for the future, but don't fall short on that which can be ours today as well. Concerning joy and fellowship, the following scripture are used for reminder. In Romans chapter 14, 17 said, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, therefore, if there are any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, and united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The Feast of Tabernacle is about joy, specifically rejoicing the great harvest that is come in. Not only the great harvest in the fruit, but the great harvest of souls that is coming. It will be joy unlimited. You know, this present age, we always look for the unlimited. but we never have this unlimited joy. But during the Feast of Tabernacle, the final fulfillment of the coming and the ruling of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be an unlimited joy. I cannot imagine those unlimited joy. Hallelujah. Among the full body of the believers. It is the feast that fulfills the desire and the promise of God to tabernacle with his people that is seen from the first book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Let me close and let us see on these scriptures the prophet Isaiah that speaks about the coming day. Isaiah 25, 6, 9 verse, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the people in this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain Zion, he will swallow up the covering which is over all people. Even the veil which is stretched over all nations, he will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in this day, behold, this is our God of for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the final goal that every believer, that we should look, the unlimited joy, reigning face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, and no more pain. Because our Lord, our God, is dwelled, and we are dwelled in his presence. Let's look on all those feasts that God, we are so blessed that in this time, as we look from afar, looking on those feasts that people, the nation of Israel, is observing, rehearsing, and practicing now, it is openly given by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There are so many teachings that God uses for the church to understand the full plan event that will take place in the future, so that we should aware and be ready, a church, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Amen. So as I ask and Rachel to come and lead us in worship, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving us, Lord, this quick understanding of these events, of this feast. There is so much more truth in it, Lord God. But Lord God, in this Bible study that you have allowed us to come and understand and look, oh Lord God, this great feast, these appointed times of the Lord, to have for us to have the understanding, for us, oh Lord God, to be aware of your coming, of the events that will take place, that we will not be ignorant, oh God, of your plan. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us, Lord God, in this point of time to understand and to know your plan. But Lord, we humble ourselves, Lord God, even that when we know this, that it will give us more responsibility, oh Lord God, to share and to live righteousness, Lord God, in your kingdom. That, Lord God, you said in your word that much is given, much is required. So help us, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, to live gratefully, joyfully, with a thankful heart for the fulfillment of those feasts in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those feasts and events that will still take place in the coming age. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.
I see the King of glory coming on with clouds, with fire, the whole earth shakes. see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near
Hosanna in the highest. Praise God. Let's go in our community prayer. Let's continue to lift up those having cancer, those who are in chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray. Also pray for those who are having illness, also needed a word of salvation. Let's pray. Thank you. Also pray for those who are having infirmities. Pray for God's healing. Pray for God's claim that promises that by our strife you are healed. Yeah, let's pray. Pray for those who are having this COVID infection. Pray for God's miracle of healing and complete healing, just eradicating and vaporizing this virus of COVID in their life. And also pray for the covering and protection of those who are serving in the frontliner staff, medical staff. Pray for the blood of Jesus cover them and their family as well, giving them strength and giving them joy and serving. Let's pray. So pray for those, pray for the job, pray for God's provision, opening door, pray for the favor of God and faith to continue to rise in their heart. Let's pray. So also pray for our mission focus for the day. Pray for SPBJ, for Pastor Hansu and his family and his congregation. Pray also for Pastor Ricky and SPSH and his congregation, his family, and Chong's and the church in China. Let us pray. So to pray for our board, pray for God's guidance and leading and wisdom, love, unity among them, and covering and protection both them and their families. Yeah, let's lift up. Also pray for the fellowship, young adults, the ministry, single life workshop, men's ministry, Monday lunchtime prayer, pure desire women's ministry, lunchtime prayer, Tuesday lunchtime prayer, betrayal and beyond, support group, and others. Pray that God continue to prosper and use this fellowship to equip and bring more souls in His kingdom. Let us pray. Also pray for our SP 2.0, our Building Resources Benefactor Vision Fund. Let us pray. Also pray for those who are pregnant, mom in our community. Pray for Dayon, Haina, and others. Pray for the covering and protections with the blood of Jesus. Health of both the mom and joy and peace of the parents. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you, God. We thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for all your truth that you have given us, Lord, through this feast. Help us, Father God, to continue understand and draw us, O Lord God, in this place that we may continue, Lord God, to ponder and to study and learn, O God, this feast. That truly, God, that we, the church, needed to know, O God, these great events and plans that you have given in this feast, that God, that you have given, O Lord God, to the nation of Israel, and I think eventually for us, the church, to know, Lord God, your plan. Father, bless, Lord God, your church. Bless those truths. Seal it with your Holy Spirit, that all that we have received it, Lord God. And thank you, Father God, the privilege and understanding. And all, thank you for all those people that you have used your revelation, O God, for them. And the obedience, O Lord God, to share and write, O Lord God, this wonderful truth, the great truth, Lord God, that you have been revealed through this feast. We bless you and we honor you, Lord God. You all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. And we'll see you again tomorrow.